When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of The Mystery Frequency. Please consider following, reviewing, and rating. All of those are easy to do, and once you do them once, you don't have to do it again. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
From out of the future comes...
The star worlds with Captain Star, ace adventurer of space, thrilling transcribed adventures in outer space and strange and far-off worlds where mystery, intrigue, and danger ride on every space fleet mission with
Star of Space! Hey, 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 hey.
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for special space mission.
Ranger Star reporting, Commodore Bradford. You're blasting for Mars Rock immediately. The Earth people in Polar City are fear-stricken and they're threatening to leave. Over 15 of their leading citizens have disappeared in the last few weeks without any explanation.
What's my assignment, sir?
Investigate the mysterious disappearance. Find out who or what is behind them. Stop them.
Shooting Star to Spaceport, Nova City, Earth.
Spaceport, Nova City. Go ahead, Shooting Star.
Blasting on priority assignment, SR-1. Destination, Polar City, Mars.
Ranger Star, commanding.
Gail Archer.
Paps on Anderson, crew.
Stand by.
Okay, Rock. She's all yours.
Pile building up. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Just received word from Nova City Earth that Ranger Star of the Space Rangers will arrive here tomorrow to help us.
What are we doing in the meantime? Captain Stabman, wait for someone to kill us?
The local authorities, please, the local authorities are doing all they can.
And I'm for selling out and leaving this part of Mars.
If you all calm down for one moment, please, please, let's at least give this Ranger our support. If he can't find out anything, then I'll be the first to lead you out of Polar City.
Captain Stidman! Captain Stidman!
Tommy, what is it?
My uncle! Uncle Bob!
What happened?
Uncle Bob is gone!
Shooting Star to Polar City Mars Spaceport. We're in an established orbit waiting for assignment of landing berth.
Roger,
Robert changed disappearance brought the total of missing persons up to 16 among the Earth colony. And they've all disappeared without any logical explanation.
I see.
But how can people disappear in thin air, Captain Stedman?
I wish I could answer that, Flap.
I understand that Tommy was with his uncle when he disappeared.
According to Tommy, yes.
Was there any reason to doubt him?
You know how young children are. They have vivid imaginations.
Yes. But Tommy was very broken up over his uncle's disappearance, wasn't he?
I can understand why. Tommy's parents were killed by the Martians when the Earth people settled here. His uncle adopted him. Have you seen Tommy yet?
No. Gail Archer, medical supervisor, member of our crew, is with him right now. We thought she could break the tension better.
All I can suggest is that you listen to his story and draw your own conclusions.
Oh, we intend to.
Fantastic as it may sound, it could be true, I suppose.
Most of the Earthmen here are farmers, aren't they?
Yes. Polar City, as you know, is noted for its excellent farming area. This section being close to the polar cap makes it a perfect climate, not to mention the fact it provides us with the best land on the planet.
Then it would be possible that the belt around the polar area could eventually make Earthmen on Mars self-sustaining as far as the food supply goes.
Well, yes, eventually, but I don't see...
What do you mean, Rock?
Well, whoever controlled the food supply on Mars could control the people. Is that correct, Captain Stedman?
We never thought of it, but yes, I guess you're right.
Then someone or something is trying to scare the Earth people away from Polar City so they can take over the land.
That's ridiculous.
No, a hungry man will do anything for food, for his body, soul, or mind, Captain Stedman. Even kill.
That is more medicine, is it, Mr. Archer?
No, this is something you really like, Tommy, here.
Go ahead.
I promise you'll like it.
What is it?
Well, a special drink that all boys and girls like on Earth. It's a vitamin malt. Go ahead.
Mmm, it is good. Thanks a lot.
I'm glad you like it.
Tell me something about Ranger Star.
Oh, you like him. He's a space ranger and, well, he's big and handsome and has a cute smile and a twinkle in his eyes.
You like Rocky, don't you?
Now, listen, young man, you're getting very personal.
But you do like him, don't you?
Well, certainly. I've been a member of his crew since the Space Fleet days.
No, I mean, you really like him.
Well, he is very nice, but, now, listen, I think that you said...
How's the patient, Gail?
Oh, he's just fine, Rocky. Boy, am I glad to see you.
Oh?
I was just asking her if you want...
Tommy wanted to know when you were going to get here. Tommy, this is Ranger Star.
Rocky to you, Tommy.
Hi, Rocky.
Tommy's been asking a lot of questions.
Well, that's the only way you'll ever learn, Tommy. Ask questions. And that's why I want to ask you some questions. I want to learn something.
All right, sir.
Well, the day that you were out with your Uncle Bob, tell me what happened.
We went out to look over the land. Uncle Bob did that about once every 6 Earth months. Well, we were skipping some rocks along the water in the stream, and all of a sudden, Uncle Bob stopped and started walking away.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I followed him and kept asking him where he was going, but he wouldn't tell me.
Well, what did he do?
He hit me and knocked me down. I was so scared, I ran back into town.
Uncle Bob was nice to you, wasn't he, Tommy?
Always.
Well, then, don't blame him for what happened. He probably wasn't himself.
Sounds like he was under some sort of hypnotic spell.
Well, where'd he go? Why'd he leave me?
That's what we're trying to find out, Tommy.
Oh, Rock, Stedman wants you on the visit wave.
Well, I'll be right back, Tommy.
I'll go with you.
What is it, Flash?
Well, Stedman wouldn't tell me. He just said it was urgent.
What kind of a boy does Tommy strike you as being, Gail?
Oh, a very normal boy, Rocky. Why?
I just wondered. That was my impression, too.
Did Tommy help any?
Some. A mental control is being exerted over the missing persons. Exactly what, I don't know.
Here's a visit wave.
Ranger Star.
Stedman here, Ranger Star. Better get over to my place at once. Avon Brickner, one of the missing persons, just walked into my office.
No, he walked in as if he'd never been missing. I asked him where he'd been. He just laughed.
Did he say anything else?
Claimed he's been up in the hills looking over his land and that there was no need for alarm. He got up to leave and then just passed out on the floor.
I sent Gail over to the hospital to talk to the doctor. Flaps is out at Brickner's home, standing guard.
Why do you need a guard? Excuse me.
Yes, Captain.
Captain Stedman.
This is Gail Archer. Tell Rocky that I've talked to Dr. Carson, that I'll meet him at the Brickner's home.
J. Just to look at him, Rocky, I'd say that he'd battled something both mentally and physically.
And the hollows in his face are deep, but that could be from lack of food.
Well, the doctor checked him over, but couldn't find anything physically wrong. A case of shock is all he could call it.
Did he find anything unusual on his person?
Yes, here. In the palm of Brickner's hand.
Looks like a burn.
Well, that's what we thought at first, but it's more like a mark, a birthmark, a discoloration of the skin.
That's odd. Burn looks like a diamond. It's almost the perfect shape.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. Did you check with his wife to see if it could have been a birthmark?
Mrs. Brickner was sent to bed by Dr. Carson. She was in a very nervous state.
Well, nothing we can do here. Come on.
Find anything?
Maybe. I'm staying here with you, Plaps, to stand guard. Gail will go back to Tommy's place.
Do you expect something to happen here, Rocky?
Avon Brickner's return seems more than just a coincidence. He disappeared once. It could happen again.
What do you expect to find in a clothes closet?
Clothes?
Oh, I know that, I know that. But why can't you look for them in the daytime instead of night?
Here we are.
Well, they look like they've been in a cosmic storm.
Brickner was wearing them when he walked into Stedman's office today. Oh.
What?
The jacket and trousers are stiff. Seems like they've been in some sort of liquid.
Water?
Well, it hasn't rained here in over an earth week, and his boots are watermarked.
Well, what about the stream that Tommy told you about?
Well, it doesn't seem to be...
Hey, Rock, somebody's at the window.
Get your flash beam out. When I signal, turn it on.
What is it?
Shh, quiet, Flaps. Hey, look. It's walking over to Brickner's bed.
He looks like he's going to...
Turn on your flash beam, quick.
Yeah, get...
Don't blast, Flaps.
Well, but he's getting away.
We don't want to kill intelligent life unless we have to.
But what was it?
Well, it looked like a small-sized version of a Martian. We won't say anything about this, Flaps.
I'd just soon forget about it. Just hope we don't meet up with another one.
We'll probably meet up with quite a few of them before this assignment is over.
But going into that country is dangerous, Ranger Starr.
Somewhere in the hills, there must be an answer to the mysterious disappearance of the Earthians here in the Polar City.
If you've made up your mind, I guess I'll go with you.
Oh, this is something that Flaps and myself will handle alone.
Very well, if that's the way you want it.
Well, Tommy, glad to see you up and around.
He insisted on coming down to see you.
Mr. Archer said that you were going to look for my uncle.
That's right, Tommy.
I want to go, Rocky. Please let me.
Well, I'd like to, but... Well, it might be dangerous. Now, that isn't exactly the kind of a job for a young man like yourself to be doing.
But maybe I can help find Uncle Bob and the other missing people.
Oh, I'll bet you could. But you'll have to let Flaps and me go on this trip alone.
They won't let me go, Tommy.
Yeah, that's right.
If I were a space ranger, I'd let me go along.
I tell you what, Tommy. When you do grow up, I'll help you become a space ranger.
You mean it, Rock? Honest?
Honest. But to be a good space ranger, you... Well, you have to make good marks in school and pass all your tests.
Then we'd better run along, young man, and study.
All right. But if you need any help, Rocky, you can count on me.
Oh, I know we can.
Be careful, Rocky.
Oh, if anything should happen and you need us, use your communicator. Flaps and I will have ours.
I will. Come on, Tommy.
Goodbye, Rocky. Flaps.
Goodbye, Tommy.
Your equipment's loaded on the sand sled. You'll be able to use the sled until you reach the foot of the hills. Then you'll have to walk.
Thanks, Captain Stedman.
You sure you won't change your mind about me coming along with you?
You'll be more help here, keeping the Earthians happy. That's a big job in itself.
Very well. Good luck to both of you.
Flaps and I rode the sand sled as far as we could into the hills, then strapped the gear on our backs and started walking. It was wild country, just as Stedman said it was, and the going through the tangled undergrowth was slow. By night, we were only halfway up the hill, so we camped by a small stream. Having been faced with eating Flaps cooking before, I came prepared. I brought along some highly concentrated food tablets, and while he was insulted, my stomach was very happy. Before bedding down, we lit a small campfire to keep away curious Martian desert cats, and then turned in for a night's rest. Flaps. Flaps, wake up. Flaps!
What's going on?
We have a visitor. Over in the bushes.
Huh?
Get your blaster. Go around one side, I'll go around the other. Now be careful. Come on out or I'll blast. I'll count up to three, then start blasting. One, two.
Don't blast, Rocky. It's me.
Hold it, Blaps. Hold it.
I know I broke my promise, Rocky, but I just had to come along.
But how did you get here?
I hid in the back of your sand sled.
Well, why didn't we see you?
When you stopped, I climbed out and then followed along behind.
Jumping Jupiter. Tommy.
Hello, Ranger Flap.
Hi, kid.
Do I have to go back, Rocky?
Well, you can't go back tonight.
Oh.
We'll contact Gail on the communicator the first thing in the morning, and then we'll see if you can stay or not. And right now, say your prayers and get some sleep.
This is Commodore Bradford, Gale. Sorry to bother you this late at night, but I have some information that must get to Locke as soon as possible.
Well, Rocky and Flaps are gone, Commodore, but I'll get a message to them. What is it?
Space Investigation Department just gave us a report on Captain Stedman.
What about Stedman?
He's really a space criminal known as Lance Whitman. Used to be a scientist, but was discharged from the scientific labs here in Nova City because of...
Commodore Bradford. Commodore Bradford.
You'll find that your communicator doesn't work, Miss Archer.
Captain Stedman.
Yes. I came over to report that Tommy is missing.
Tommy missing?
I thought perhaps you might know where he was.
Why, no, I...
I've been outside for some time. I heard your conversation with Commodore Bradford.
What are you going to do?
I have no choice now.
Well, how do you feel after a good breakfast, Tommy?
Fine, Rocky.
Yeah, nothing like a good breakfast to give you a good start in the day. You remember that.
I will.
I don't understand it, Rock.
Understand what, Flash?
Well, my communicator doesn't work. Tried everything.
Well, then use mine.
I did. It doesn't work either.
Well, they were both checked before we left Stedman's.
Yeah, well, whoever checked them to be sure they wouldn't work.
Flaps took one of the communicators apart and found the microtube missing. Now we were out of communication with Gale and had no way of knowing what was going on in Polar City.
Get the gear together, Flaps. We're going back to Polar City now.
Right.
Rocky! Rocky, help!
Ah! I spun around fast in the direction of Tommy's frantic voice and started running to help him. Down by the edge of the stream, I saw one of the funny Martian men Flaps and I had seen before. He had Tommy in his arms. I grabbed him and spun him around. He might have been small, but he was fast and strong. I was on the ground now with the Martian on top of me. His hands were around my throat, and I was struggling to break his grip.
Hey, what in the universe happened?
He grabbed Tommy and I was running away.
Well, that's the same kind of creature we saw at Brickner's house.
Yeah, I told you. We'd be seeing a lot more of
it. Well, where's Tommy?
He was just here a few seconds ago.
He's not here now.
Tommy! Tommy!
There he is, Rock. Look, he's just walking down the middle of the stream.
Tommy! Just a minute!
Great day in the universe. Look at him. He's way out of this world.
Don't touch him, Flash.
Well, shouldn't we do something?
Oh, Tommy's all right, I'm sure, but in some sort of a trance.
What's he holding in his hand?
Looks like a necklace or a charm. Hey, I remember now. That native had something around his neck. I was on the ground and suddenly I felt weak and... That's it, Fletch. The necklace had a purple ornament on it. That's the piece that hypnotizes victims and through it, a metal power controls them.
Well, what do we do about Tommy?
Follow him.
Well, he's still walking down the middle of the stream. Can't we do something to break the hypnotic spell?
I don't know what effect it might have on him. The mental force is leading him someplace. We'll have a better chance if we can find out exactly what the control is. Then, once it's broken forever.
Hey, look, Rock.
Hmm?
He's walking out of the stream now.
And toward that big jagged rock over there.
But there's nothing there.
As far as we know now. Let's move a little faster so we can catch up with him, and then we'll stay right behind him. Tommy walked closer and closer toward the rock. We moved up close behind him so that we could protect him against any danger. When he reached the rock, he stopped, and suddenly the rock separated and swung open.
Jumping Jupiter. It's opening up.
We're going to follow him in. Now, act just the way he does, in a trance. And whoever's behind the rock slab will think we're one of the captives.
Yeah, you hope.
I'm hoping real hard. Now we've found ourselves in a huge cave. The rock slab swung shut. Followed Tommy down the cave that was lit with purple torches on each side. Ahead of us, there was a big open area with 20 or more of the native Martians, like the one we had fought with earlier, standing around a large open pool. Tommy walked right into their midst and stopped.
What do you make of it, Doc?
Looks like some sort of ancient sacrifice ritual.
Well, they're all just standing around the pool. Why don't they do something?
Well, maybe they...
You are now facing the pool of life, Tommy Kane. And you will soon be one of us.
Me and that big man.
Don't ask any questions now, Pops. Just do what I say. Get your blaster ready. When I holler, start running toward that pool and firing into it.
I don't understand.
I'll explain later. We haven't much time. Now, wait here until I holler for you.
Right.
Whoever you are, don't try to stop me from taking this boy out of here. If you do, I'll blast your pool of life into eternity. I've been expecting you, Ranger Star. Welcome. You heard me. I'm taking this boy out of here. I say you won't. I don't think you will at all. Look up there. Hey, Rock.
Hey, Rock. Rock, it's Tia. Look. She just walked out on that ledge up there.
No, no matter what happens, just do as I told you to.
The minute you start blasting into the pool, Ranger Star, Miss Archer will walk to the edge of the cliff and fall into it. All right. All right. What do you want us to do? Up on that ledge, you'll find some diamond-shaped rocks. Listen carefully, Star. Diamond-shaped rocks. Pick one of them up and take it to Miss Archer.
Very well.
In just a few moments, Ranger Star, you will become one of us. Yes, one of us, Ranger Star, as your friends have. And my plans will become that much easier.
Clark, stop blasting into the pool! Grab Tommy, I'll get Gale!
Myself are deeply indebted to you, Ranger Star.
We sure are, Rocky. Thanks an awful lot for saving my Uncle Bob.
Remember what I told you, Tommy. Study real hard, and when you grow up, I'll see to it that you're a space ranger. That'll be repayment enough for me.
A shooting star ready to blast, Rock.
Okay, we're coming. Come on, Gale.
Goodbye, Tommy. Accomplished, Rocky?
Yes, but with a very narrow escape.
You know, all I want to know is what was in that pool that I blasted so much, Rock?
Well, that was a form of intelligent matter that Stedman perfected. He was a brilliant scientist, but used his knowledge wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The purple ornaments shaped like diamonds were a dried portion of the liquid in the pool.
I see.
He spread them around the hilly area of Polar City, and the farmers on their check of their land would pick them up, fall under an hypnotic spell, and the intelligent matter would lead them to the cave.
What did he do with the people?
Well, only a scientist could explain it, Flaps, but... Well, I'd imagine they were used in some way to feed the pool of intelligence.
I'm glad we got rid of the thing.
Well, Stedman told me that he planned to rule the universe someday through the pool of intelligence.
Well, how's that deal?
Well, first, he had to scare the farmers away.
Which he was doing a nice job of.
Yes.
And then, through the food supply, he could control Mars.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the universe?
Well, he'd use his purple ornaments to attract certain powers to Mars. And then, through his control, it would have been an easy matter to use the powers as he wished.
Flap, what are you tapping your head for?
I'm just checking to see if I still have all my brains.
Thank you.
Captain Star of the Space Fleet is based on characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers. John Larch is heard as Captain Star, Jane Harlan as Gail Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripes. Captain Star comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. That's all for today, boys and girls. Be sure and join us next week for some more Saturday morning adventures.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review. Or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
From out of the future comes...
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for special space mission.
Nova City Spaceport to Spaceship Shooting Star.
Sergeant Stripes on Spaceship Shooting Star. Come in, Nova City.
Prepare to blast.
Roger. Now we're all set, Captain Star.
Good, Stripes. I'll take over.
Gail, all set.
Right. Forward scanner open. We're cleared for blast, Skipper.
Port's locked.
Port's locked.
We're okay for blast, Nova City.
Pile building up.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release! Last reading, Stripes.
Well, let's see. One astron off Xyron Parallax.
Old course.
Old course. You know, we've never blasted along the space lane before, Skipper.
No.
Matter of fact, the universe space lane maps advise against following this lane.
Yeah, I know.
Then what are we doing following it?
Orders.
Okay, I can take a hint. So you don't want to tell me what our mission is?
Well, I can't.
Oh, real top secret stuff.
Oh, No. I don't know what it is.
One of those trips, huh?
Yeah, one of those trips.
Yeah, one of those trips.
Slow rockets, Stripes.
Slow rockets.
Skipper, check number 2 scanner, hurry.
I'm on number 2 scanner now, Gail.
I'm picking up a slight distress signal from it.
We're getting the signal in here now.
Well, what is it?
Well, it looks like a spaceship, yet it doesn't.
That must be it.
It must? I mean, what must be what?
Gail, stand by to establish orbit for our ship.
You mean we're going to board the ship?
Yes, Gail.
But...
Stripes, you'll stand by here with the blasters trained on the ship. If Gail and I aren't back in 30 minutes, start blasting.
Yes, sir. You know, Skipper, this mission reminds me of rockets.
How's that, Stripes?
Flip of the switch. Get in them both.
Right.
see anything, Skipper?
Nothing. Let's go this way.
It looks like a ghost ship almost. So many things have been stripped, see? Panels have been taken out, and so have some of the equipment.
Yeah, somebody wanted to make sure that the ship would never leave its orbit. Oh, here's the door. Get behind me. And use your blaster if you have to. Zyron's lung structure differs from ours. They breathe with the aid of a special apparatus that's housed in the headgear.
Is he alive?
I don't know. Hey, look.
The headgear's been tampered with.
Well, he seems to be reacting to the oxygen capsule.
It's hard to tell with all that weird contraption covering his face.
Earthman! Earthman!
Yes. Yes, we're Earth people. I'm Captain Starr. This is Gale Archer.
My name is Talon. I am from Zion.
Our scientific space department picked up your distress signal and gave it to me. I'm with Space Fleet.
I have heard of you, Captain Starr. I have a little time left to live. Must talk fast.
Well, what do you mean?
Evil one, destroy my breathing apparatus in headgear. Then leave me to die here in space.
Who are the evil ones?
Outlanders. Men who look much like yourself.
The space criminal.
Yeah. They escaped from Solar Federation prison a few months ago.
My people are seekers of truth like your people, Earthman. Outlanders plan to use my people and their invention for evil purposes. You must stop them, Captain.
Stop them? From what?
My people have invented no ray machine. This machine can do much good for people of the universe, but can also destroy life as well as help it. You will find plans and other information in Strongbox in operations room. Study them well. My sister, Queen Nilo, will help you.
Oh, what's that, Skipper?
Hey, Skipper, the airlocks on our ships are pulling apart.
Secure your airlock, Stripes.
Yeah, but how are you going to
get... Never mind. Secure your airlock and follow us down.
The ship's pulled apart, Skipper.
Help me with this control, Gail. I'll switch over to Jules.
But there isn't any firing lever.
Just guide it. If we can find a clearing, we'll glide in.
Well, judging from that jagged terrain below, that's a big if, Skipper.
Sergeant Stripes on Shooting Star. Come in, Captain Star.
Oh, doggone it.
Sergeant Stripes on Shooting Star to Captain Star. Come in.
This is Star.
Are you okay, Captain?
Yes, yeah, we found a clearing.
Well, look, I've spotted one about, I'd say about 5 Earth miles from where you sat down.
Oh, good. Now, listen, when you land, contact us. We can't leave the ship without spacesuits. There's no oxygen on this satellite.
Okay, look, I'll bring your suits along. Tell me, are there any communicators aboard that ship?
No, none, Stripes, none.
Oh. Well, maybe I can work mine through your panel board so I can be in constant touch with you when I leave this ship. I won't promise, though.
Yeah, well, try it. Oh, and Stripes.
Yeah?
Every minute counts. The atomic fuel's leaking in this ship. Atomic radiation will be setting in a few hours.
Sorry.
Talon did what a lot of other conscientious people have done. brought the history of our universe. He gave his own life so that others might live. That's why we must stop the Outlanders from using the ray machine so that Talon will not have died in vain.
What is the ray machine, Skipper?
A machine that will harness electrical powers and convert them into useful channels. It can also be used to destroy, as Talon told us. Burns all the life in the ray's pad.
Is it that powerful?
Yeah. The Outlanders use it against Earth, well, they could...
Skipper, listen. The atomic indicator is stopped.
Well, then we only have about an hour before atomic radiation sets in.
We haven't heard from Stripes in over 2 hours now.
The rig he thought might work with his communicator wasn't usable then.
But why did the two ships pull apart anyway?
Whoever left the ship last probably fixed the airlock so that it wouldn't hold for long. Just in the event someone did discover the ship.
Oh, I'm scared, Skipper.
I know, but... Well, Stripes will be here soon.
Yeah, that's right. Stripes will be here soon.
What are you doing, Gail?
Just making sure that Stripes does get here, Skipper. I'm saying a little prayer.
Come in, Queen Nilo.
Be very brief, Queen Nilo. From now on, there'll be no queen here on Xyron.
Oh, what do you mean?
You're announcing to your people that I'm going to become ruler of this planet.
I don't understand. My brother Talon welcomed you here to our planet. You have been treated well.
You miss the point. I like it here. So much that I intend to stay. Your people are very smart, Queen Nilo, and I can use them. They can invent many things that can be useful to me.
My people use their talents for all people of the universe.
Yes, they have until now. Take that ray machine, for instance. With it, I can soon control Earth. And whoever controls Earth controls the universe. Now, do you understand?
Yes. You are evil. You and your men all evil thoughts. When my brother Talon returns, he...
You'll wait a long time, Queen Nilo. Your brother is dead by now. He was foolish. He was going to turn my men and myself over to the Earth Authority.
Nilo will never do as you ask, Adak.
Very well. Until you do as I say, you'll be my prisoner. You have 24 Earth hours to make your decision. If you don't do as I ask, then your people will suffer.
Stop the Outlanders from getting control of it.
Yeah, but what about Gail, Skipper?
Well, if you were in Gail's place and had the same situation facing you, would you want us to take you back to Earth?
Okay. I think I know what Gail would want.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
The oxygen treatment that you gave her should revive her. I'm sure it isn't atomic poisoning.
Well, I hope not. Well, look, we can't notify Xyron spaceport that we're coming.
No, we'll have to find a landing spot outside of their main city.
Yeah. Skipper, you said the Xyronians were great inventive people.
Yeah. But they never think of using their inventions for any other purpose than good. That's why it'd be easy for the Outlanders to move in on them. They're very unassuming people.
Well, who do you think's in charge of the Outlanders?
Well, it's just a guess, Stripes. But Adak was among the space criminals that broke out of Solar Prison.
Yeah, Adak, I remember him. He was a space hijacker and they caught him on Mars.
Yeah, that's right. Solar Court found him guilty and recommended that he be sent to a mental institution. But before they could transfer him there, he made the break.
Well, shouldn't we contact Commodore Prattree?
No, we can't risk it.
Yeah, but we have a closed circuit.
So did the Outlanders.
Huh?
When they broke prison, they forced the guard to blast off in an official solar ship. All right, be willing to bet they're tuned in on a closed circuit right now.
Oh, if that's the case, we could be in real trouble as soon as we set our ship down on Xyron. Landing didn't seem to attract any attention of the natives, Skipper.
No. Soupy atmosphere here on Xyron covered us.
Look, is Gail better?
It's hard to tell right now. She seems to be resting better.
You don't think the lack of oxygen destroyed any brain cells, do you?
We'll know in the next few hours. You'll stay here with us, Stripes. Now, if for any reason I don't get back or Gail gets worse, blast off for us.
Well, I'd like to be able to help you, Skipper.
Gail needs your help right here now.
Okay, look, how are you going to keep people from recognizing you?
I brought Talon's headgear with me. I'm taking a small supply of oxygen capsules along. That way I'll be able to breathe inside the headpiece. Oh, help me out with the gear, will you?
All right, okay, here we go now. Over the head.
Do you think this will fool them, Stripes?
Jumping Jupiter? You even talk like a Zeronian.
Yeah. Now, as soon as I jump outside, seal the airlock and keep it sealed. Don't open it until you hear this signal. Got it?
Yeah, I got it. Well, good luck, Skipper.
Save you, Stripes.
Well, I hope luck's enough.
Plans have been lost.
Talon take plans with him. Say he bring them back, but Talon not come back.
The ray machine has to be completed.
Can make suggestion as one.
Then what are you waiting for?
First must make agreement.
Oh, some payoff credits.
Oh, huh? Yes, as one, yes.
Well, if I had time, I'd... All right, I'll pay. What's your price?
When as one is made ruler of Xyron, would like to be remembered for assisting him.
Oh, then you recognize Adak as a leader, huh?
Oh, yes, Athwan.
Very well, you can have what you want. Now, what do you know?
Talon, leave information on Ray Machine with Queen Nilo.
Yes, go on.
Athwan would not appreciate or understand information that Talon left. Information in ancient Xyron language. Few people understand.
How do you know all this?
Do not ask how you learn your knowledge.
Very well. How do we get this information?
Take me to Queen Nilo. Leave me alone with her short time. I get information.
How do I know you'll tell me the truth after you talk with Queen Nilo?
Would be afraid to not tell Earthwan. We make bargain. I keep mine.
All right. I'll see that you're left alone with Queen Nilo for 30 minutes. If you can't get the information we need... then I'll get it my way.
Who are you? I do not know you.
But I know of you, Queen Nilo.
Is this another one of Adak's tricks?
This isn't a trick, Queen Nilo. I came to starve the space fleet from Earth.
I do not understand.
Just a minute. I haven't much time to explain. I found your brother's ship in space, and he told me about the ray machine and the Outlanders.
Is Talon alive?
No. No, and I'm sorry.
Then Adak killed him.
Yes. We can't do anything for Talon, but we can stop Adak.
But what can I do, Captain Starr? Adak is holding me a prisoner.
Adak doesn't trust me. He's back sooner than he promised. Now, look, we must hurry. Stand over by the door. As soon as Adak walks into the room, I'll grab him and you close the door. Do you understand?
Yes. But what do we do then?
Leave that to me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Unlock the door.
Until
what?
Until my men picked up two of your friends.
Spike. Skipper, I couldn't help it.
My men were rather rough with them, especially around the face, as you can see. Take them both away. You'll remain here in your room, Queen Nilo. You still have a few hours left to make your decision.
Ray gun on the ship's door that melted it down. I tried to fight them, Skipper, but there are too many. Oh, they really worked me over.
What'd they do with Gail?
Oh, Adak sent her to the hospital.
Oh, I'm thankful for that.
At least he told one of the guards to take her there.
If anything happens to Gail, I'll have... Oh, wild wife, I can't do anything in here.
I guess we sort of threw a bunker wrench into the works, didn't we?
It couldn't be helped, Stripes, forget it. How do you feel?
Like one of those ancient Ubangi natives, you know, the one with the big lips. Somebody's moving it. They don't move by themselves.
I'll get on one side. Get on the other.
Right. Hey, it's Queen Nilo.
We're right here.
There's a secret passageway that leads to the upstairs where Adak is. My brother put it in many years ago. It opens onto the room also where Adak was holding me a prisoner.
Oh, saved by a hole in the wall.
Don't count your blessings until they're arrived. It's at least a chance, though. Come on, Stripes. Here comes Adak.
I say no more, Skipper. I owe him something, and I'm just itching to pay it back. Let me do it.
All right. Very good, Stripes. Very good.
Don't mention it, Skipper. That one's on me.
I'll pick him up and revive him.
Right.
Adak has to pass him through his guards at the building where the ray machine is being made. I want you to go to the hospital and make sure that Gail is all right.
Right.
Oh, Queen Nilo?
Yes.
As soon as we're outside, get some of your people and have them take over here. Oh, there aren't many of Adak's men here, are there?
Most of them are at the ray plant.
Good. We'll leave as soon as Stripes brings Adak around.
Now, that may be some time, sir. I gave him that extra special payment plan. You know, the one with the punch. Well, like I was telling you, Commodore Bradford, we captured Adak and all of his men, and the ray machine has been turned over to Solar Federation. The ray machine will make it possible for new things that'll help the people of the universe.
And how is Gail Archer?
Gail Archer? Ah, she's fine. Fit as a Martian kitten, and as pretty, I might add. Well, it's good to be home again, sir. At least we'll be home soon, and we'll establish an orbit as soon as you assign us a berth to land in. That completes the report, Skipper.
Oh, it sounded good, Stripes, but did it really happen the way you said it did?
What do you mean? We caught Adak, we stopped the ray production, and Queen Nilo got her command back.
You mean her people?
Yeah, her people.
And we got Gail back.
Well, she never left us, did she?
And I never will. If I can't take Captain Star and Cadet Sergeant Stripes with me, I'm not going.
You know, there's one thing that bothers me, Skipper.
Yeah, what's that, Stripes?
Well, I know the people on Xyron had to wear those weird headgears because their breathing apparatus was inside of them.
So, what's your problem?
Well, it isn't exactly a problem. It's not my problem, anyway. It's the problem of the people who live on Xyron.
And that is?
Well, that is, with all that equipment covering their faces, how do they steal a kiss or two?
Well, a good question, Stripes. Let me answer it with another question.
All right, go ahead.
If you had to live on Xyron, and if you had to wear all that headgear, how could you steal a kiss?
I see what you mean. In other words, where there's a will, there's a way.
Always, Stripes, always.
Lawn characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers. John Larch is heard as Captain Starr, Jane Harlan as Gail Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripes. Captain Starr comes to you transcribed from Hollywood.
That sweet old ship go. Now, that's what I call real flying. How do I know? Well, there's not much about pilots and aviation I don't know. So put down your flaps and level off for a little hangar flying, because, buddy, you're talking to the granddaddy of them all, the gray-haired wonder. Flying over the front during World War I in our rickety little two- or three-seater planes, we felt sure we were covering ourselves with glory. That military aviation had reached its ultimate limit, its final perfection. That was then. We couldn't have imagined military aviation in terms of anything other than offensive, defensive operations and observation. How surprised we would have been to learn that military aircraft would one day be used extensively and effectively to transport troops and supplies to the battle area. Used as a long-range ambulance transporting wounded troops from field hospitals directly to base hospitals in the United States, thus ensuring prompt treatment and preventing hospital overcrowding. Used also as short-range ambulances, helicopter ambulances, transporting the wounded directly from the battle lines to field hospitals, as submarine spotters and destroyers, and as liaison contacts. When it comes to developing every possible use for military aircraft, man, you got the best doggone Air Force in the world.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.